finally found this old country preacher, and they had this church that needed a new steeple. It was leaking, and the people just didn't have the money to repair it. And so he said, I tell you what, I will give you the money to repair your steeple if you will come and say something good about my brother at the funeral. So the preacher prayed about it and in desperation said, okay. So he came to the funeral, and the day of the funeral, all the town folks showed up because they're like, what is this guy going to say good about this one who died? And so the preacher stood up and he said this. He said, everybody knows Joe and how bad he was. He was a womanizer and a drinker. He was a cusser and just an all-around despicable, rotten person. But I can say this good about him. He was only half as bad as his brother. Today, I want to talk about two brothers. Not quite as bad as these two guys, maybe, but totally imperfect. Today, I want to do a leadership snapshot. I want to talk about Moses and his brother Aaron and a situation that occurred between them, involving them. To kind of set up where we're heading to, we're going to talk about the time when Moses was on Mount Sinai. Before that, they had gone through 400 years of slavery. They had cried out to God for a Savior, and He had sent Moses, and Moses convinced the people to follow Him. And God sent all of these plagues and examples of His power and strength, and finally, Pharaoh let the people go. And they came across the desert, and they came to the Red Sea, and they were stuck. And they had Pharaoh's army just bearing down on them. And he opened the sea and he let the Jews go across. And then when the Egyptians came, they closed the waters and drowned the army. And they had this great big celebration. They're like, our God's awesome. And they were all excited. And then they got hungry. And whiny. And they're like, we were better off being slaves. At least we had food. Now, guys, they're only a month out from slavery. 400 years of slavery. They're only out a month, and they're already complaining. God heard their complaints and sent them manna and sent them quail. Then they're like, well, now I'm full, but I'm thirsty. Whiny, whiny. And so God said, strike the rock, and water came out, and He gave water to give all the people some relief to their thirst. And He says, okay, I've demonstrated all of my power to you. And I want you to know when I tell you this, I want to make a great nation of you. And I've demonstrated I have the power to do that. And they all said, yeah, we're with you. This is awesome. And so He said, here's what I want you to do. Consecrate yourselves, get ready, because I'm going to come down and I'm going to talk with you. And so God does that at Mount Sinai. And there's some leadership qualities that I think that we can learn from these stories. The first thing I want us to see is that leadership requires a good attitude. Leadership requires a good attitude. The Israelites were more than happy to follow God when He was a pillar of smoke during the day. And He was this kind of warm pillar of fire at night that gave light and warmth. He was kind of like this giant, if I would imagine it, kind of like a big campfire. And they all circled around this pillar, and they're all like, this is awesome. And maybe they sang Kumbaya, I don't know what they did, and roasted s'mores, I'm not sure. But they had this great experience, and it was all wonderful. But that was a safe encounter with God. You see, their attitude was okay when everything was just on the way that they liked it. They asked for drink, they got drink. They asked for food, they got food. They were afraid of the dark, He provided a nightlight. That was all good. But when God shows up, for real, they got a little scared. See, their attitude changed. And I want you to look at this next picture. This is what they call a dirty storm. This is an actual picture. This isn't photoshopped or anything like that. May 6, 2008, there was an eruption of a volcano in Chile. And when the volcano erupted, there also was a passing thunderstorm. And so the two events collided. And so you see lightning inside the ash and the fire from the volcano. And I chose this picture because this is how the Bible described God. It says that Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it. The smoke built up like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain was covered. Goes on to describe it. He says, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning, and they heard the trumpet, which was the voice of God, and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. See, leadership, you have to have the right attitude. When everything's smooth and going okay, and it's all about me, we're ready to lead. We're ready to follow. We're ready to step up. But when things get a little scary, what happens? Well, the Israelites, what they did was they said, let's have a little conference here with Moses and Aaron. And they said, here's what we're going to do. Moses, you go and talk to God. See what he has to say. Then come back and tell us. And then Aaron, he's kind of chiming in on this too. And he's like, since I'm like the second leader, I'll stay behind. Yeah, I'll watch over these guys while you're gone, Moses. And so Moses says, okay, I'll do that. Because he's got the right attitude. Attitude is, hey, this guy, God, has the plan. He has the power. I'm going to go talk with him. If I'm going to lead you guys, I got to know where I'm leading you. I got to know the plan. He's got the plan. I got to go be with him. Right attitude. What happens? Well, you got to listen because God gave some instructions before he departed and left. So the other thing I want us to see out of this story is that leadership requires good listening. It requires good listening. You see, God had come down and he had given the Ten Commandments to all the Israelites. And the first two commandments is, do not have any gods before me and don't make any images of gods. Right out of the bat, 1, 2. And then just to be clear, before he withdraws with Moses, he says, by the way, in case I wasn't clear, don't make any images of silver or gold while we're gone. And they kind of all gave the butt wheat. Okay. We won't. Now, those of us who are parents, how many times have we done this with our children? I'm just going to run to the store real quick. Don't fill in the blank, right? Just sit on the couch, watch TV, I'll be right back. Or hey, I'm going to go grab a quick shower. Or I'm going to go do this out in the outside. And then you come back in. No house. Kitchen on fire. TV broken. One of the kids, black eye and blood. Like, what happened? I don't, nothing. What? You didn't say not to do that. You didn't say we couldn't play rugby in the living room. So we should not be surprised that the Israelites, they had the same problem, because this is what I love about the Bible. It tells us about people like me and you. Because guess what? You guys, those of us who are grown up, or those of us who are at least adult age, that one time we were those children. If my mom was here, I'm sure she has a story or two to tell about Jason, don't fill in the blank. She comes home, guess what happened? Jason did. What is it about us? And so good leadership is we have to break that habit of not listening. You see, there are those who want to lead us. I don't care what level of leadership you're in. As a pastor, I have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I have to follow the leadership of the elders. As a congregation, you have to follow the leadership of the leaders who are here, the elders, myself, and of course, the Holy Spirit. If you're a family and you're a husband, you're leading, but you better go and read books or go find somebody else who's led a little farther down the road before you start going just blindly down it. I don't care what level of leadership you're at, you have to have the skill of good listening. And it's counterintuitive, especially when you're hearing it from scary things like a cloud of fire and lightning, right? Or how about when you're hearing it from your boss or a parent who's upset with you or an elder board that's upset with you? That there are some scary things out there. But we who have leadership have to have good listening. This is where Aaron and Moses diverge. This is where these two brothers who are walking side by side, who are leading the Israelites, following God, take two paths. Moses retreats to the mountain, and Aaron stays with the people. The third thing I want us to see out of this story is that leadership requires diligence. Leadership requires diligence. You have to be faithful. You have to stick with the plan. Leadership requires consistency and being real and being true. What happened? God is sharing the law one-on-one with Moses. The people get restless. I will repeat this again. So we get the picture of what's going on. 400 years of slavery. They're out for a month and a half. They hear from God. Pretty big thing. Moses, then they say, you know what? We can't handle it. So Moses, you go talk to God by yourself. Moses is gone for 40 days. The people get restless. 400 years you've been waiting to get out of slavery? You can't wait 40 days for a message from God? Now, it's interesting because it's the same group of people that Moses had been dealing with leading up to this point. Aaron handles it a little bit different. You see, in chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, and 17, let me say it again. In chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all the people of Israel were whining about everything to Moses. So the people didn't change. Who changed? The leader that was stepping in there. You see, every time that they'd complain, Moses would go, okay, I hear your complaint, and he would go to God and say, okay. Now, he said it with some sarcasm. One of his favorite lines is, these people you gave me are complaining. Better that I had died in my mother's womb than to have been put in this situation to lead them. You know, he did go to God. That's encouragement for us. Sometimes we don't have to go to prayer always in the most reverent attitude. Sometimes it's just the moment and you take it to God anyways. But I love it because Moses did that every time. And he recognized who had the problem. Not him. God did. At the Global Leadership Summit last week, Colin Powell told a great story about Ronald Reagan. And the story goes like this. He said, Powell said that he was the national security advisor. And he had, this is about 1988, all of these problems are going on in the Middle East. Still having the Cold War issues with Russia. And he was just tore up with all kinds of things that were going on in the security realm. And so he scheduled a meeting to go meet with Reagan. And he said he walked in, and if you can picture the Oval Office, he said, I sat on that couch. He said, and I just passionately was just pouring out these problems. And he said, Reagan just sat there. in his chair next to the fire, and he kept looking over my shoulder out the window and kind of doing one of these, like not really paying attention. And he said, I was getting a little flustered. So I thought, well, maybe he can't hear me. So I talked really loud, he said. I just got even more passionate and just really was telling him about these stories. And he said, I thought I had him for a second because he jumped up. He said, Colin, look out that window real quick. And he goes, I spun around. And he said, look, the squirrels are getting the nuts that I laid out there this morning. And Colin Powell's like, really? Like, I'm telling you, like, the Russians, the Middle East, and all these problems, and you're worried about squirrels outside your window. And he said, he just kind of dismissively looked at me and said, Colin, you got it. And he goes, and I took that as my dismissal. I went back to my office and sat down. I was just steaming mad. He's like, but he's the president, so you can't, like, get mad at him. He goes, but I was steaming mad because then I realized what it was. He hired me to be the national security advisor to handle these problems. It was my problem to handle. He said, but the really cool thing was about 2 weeks later, there was a situation where those of us who remember back in the late 80s, the Japanese were buying up a lot of American landmarks, the Empire State Building, Coney Island, just all these different places. And there was some concern, and so leaders of Congress and the Department of Defense and the Department of Economy and all these people, the cabinet, were coming and meeting with Reagan, and he said, as National Security Advisor, I was in the meeting. And he said, and they were just pouring it on him, and he was behind his desk, and he said, I sat in that chair next to the fireplace, and I looked out the window, looking for those squirrels. And he said, President Reagan asked him what I thought, and he said, this one's on you, sir. He recognized in that situation, it's not his responsibility. It was the president's responsibility. There's a children's song that we sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our burdens to take to him in prayer. How many times do we carry a burden that we shouldn't have to carry? See, this is where Moses and Abraham separated. Moses and Aaron. Y'all didn't even catch it. Did you catch it? All right. I was just seeing if you was listening. So, I wasn't throwing it, but you caught it. So, Moses is an Aaron. Somehow Paul and Peter will be in here pretty soon. So, they diverge right here because Moses, he took the problem to the person whose problem it was. Aaron takes it on himself. You see, there was a problem with the people. They had looked to a person. They failed to see who the leader was too. It was never Moses. It was always God. And they failed to recognize that. And when Moses was stepped out of the picture, they were confused because they didn't have a leader. So they looked at Aaron, and Aaron took it on himself, and he said, go ahead and get all of your jewelry. Now let's back up for just a second. Last thing God says, you saw the picture earlier, fire, lightning, that would make an impression on you, right? So if fire and lightning is talking to you and says, do not make golden images, what would you do? Go make a golden image. Of course, that's what Aaron does. He says, bring all your rings, your jewelry. We melt it down and he makes a golden calf. So God says, look, Moses, I'm enjoying this time with you. We're hanging out. This is great. But your brother is messing up and the people are acting a fool. Go back down there. And you have that classic, if you remember the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, and he's carrying the big stones and he smashes the stones. He's so mad. And this is the ones that God just wrote, by the way. You know, again, not that Moses is perfect. He just smashed the Ten Commandments that God wrote himself. God wrote me a note. I think I'd keep it. But he's so mad. He breaks them. He gets so mad at the people. And then Aaron messes up. You see, he messed up the first time by putting the golden image together. He messes up a second time Because he says, it's not my fault. Come here. Moses, you know how these people are. Does that sound familiar? You know these people you left me with. Sounds a lot like what Moses was saying to God. But now Aaron's saying it to Moses. Because Aaron didn't see it either. Moses wasn't the leader. God was the leader. He says, you left these people. You know how whiny they can be? He's trying to be, what's the word I'm looking for here? He's trying to hang out with him. He's trying to get him on his side. He's trying to bond with him and say, you and me, we're a lot alike. Commiserate. Thank you very much. I think I even wrote the word up there. So, camaraderie is the word. Because Peter and Paul, they were comrades. So, they were trying to come along and say, you have got to know what I've been through. You know how it is. Now, guys, I don't know if we do this sometimes as leaders in our own home. I got this woman at home. You know how women are. Oh, I got this husband at home. You know how men are. I got these kids at home. Woo, you know how kids can be. Hey, it's not their fault. Who's the leader? At that moment, you're leading. You better be following God in that leadership. That's what Aaron did. He messed up. You see, he failed by not listening. He failed by not sticking to the plan, by not having due diligence and sticking through it. He gave up. The people gave up too quickly. Moses, he remembers the big picture, and he saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them out of control, became a laughingstock to their enemies. See, he stayed true to the course. He knew what God had said. I'm going to make you a great nation of kings and priests. You're going to be awesome. And you're acting like fools. You're running around like wild animals. How many times have you said that to your kids? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, we have in this situation two brothers. One who said, you know what? I know who the leader is. It's God. And if he wants me to go up on this mountain, even though it's scary, even though it's fire and lightning and raining ash, that's where I want to be. And when he says, don't build a golden calf, don't build a golden calf. Aaron, on the other hand, right there, got the same instructions, walking the same path, walking in the same sand. He loses sight of who the leader was. He doesn't have good listening skills. And he gives up too soon. Last week I talked about walking by sight and walking by faith. That was Abraham. These guys are walking by sight, his brother Aaron, and walking by faith, Moses. So what would that look like in our life? What goal can we achieve that because we don't walk by faith, that we give up too soon? I want you to watch a video. It's about 5 minutes long. Many of you may have already seen it, but I think it's one of the best examples of not giving up.
Your attitude's like the aroma of your heart. If your attitude stinks, it means your heart's not right.
You sure is preaching today.
Mm-hmm. What?
How's your attitude, Brock?
It's fine.
Then you'll be okay with the death crawl, right?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, everybody on the goal line. Get your partner. Let's go. All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Let's go, Matt. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There we go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you could go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he
does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go.
Come on.
It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on, keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by his strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best.
Let's go to the 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone.
They went 40 days and were ready to give up. They built the golden calf and they said this. See this calf? This is what brought us out of Egypt. Little did they know, they had 40 more years before they got to cross the finish line, before they got to their end zone. What I love about that video is It starts off talking about attitude. And that young man, Brock, was the leader in that group. And because of his attitude, it sets the attitude of the group. And what did he do? He wanted to give up, but he kept listening. And the coach kept telling him, just one more step, just one more step. That's how God does it with us. And I love it too because he does it blindfolded. He does it by faith. Because if he was seeing it, he would have stopped at the 20, wouldn't he? He may have stopped at the 50. He never would have got to the end zone. Where's our end zone? Are we going to go and follow like Moses? Wherever God leads, we take it. Are we going to be like Aaron and others who give up so quickly? The reason we're starting a youth ministry, the reason that we're changing the children's ministry, because it's not about me. It's about the next generation. And it's about the generation after that. And the generation after that, until Christ comes back. Guys, we don't know when that end zone is going to be. All I know is put one hand in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. And sometimes it feels like we're carrying a load on our back. And it hurts. But we got to take that next step. And we got to take that next step. Are we going to give up? Or are we going to keep going? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just help us to lead. Help us to lead where we are at. Help us to lead in our families, at our jobs, in our church. Help us to not give up. God, we want to. But just be there for us, God. And help us to listen to your voice. Help us to follow you. Help us to have the right attitude. It's in your name we pray. Amen.